Hi everyone, and welcome to NRG Park, OTA's organized team activities going on behind me out here on the practice fields at NRG. Hi everyone, I'm Patty Smith. Welcome to Texans Huddle. We have a great 30 minutes in store for you. In fact, a little bit later on in the show, I will sit down and go one-on-one with defensive end J.J. Watt. We'll hear from players, we'll hear from coaches, and in fact, we will start right there as I toss it out to my partner, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, for all the news and notes of the week. Mark?
Thanks, Patty. Here with Texans football analyst John Harris at NRG Stadium. And John, let's get right to it. Big news of the week. David Quisenberry, Texans offensive lineman, diagnosed with lymphoma. His agent says it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Quisenberry tweeted out that he's going to fight it with everything he's got.
Absolutely. And if you know David Quisenberry, as I know a lot of people do, he will fight this. And he's got a great football family to help him through this alongside his actual family. Houston Texans family is a great one, and they'll help him get through all this.
Well, there was plenty of reaction, plenty of support from everyone in the Texans organization.
Over the last few days, we learned of David Quisenberry's diagnosis with lymphoma. And we just want everybody to know, most especially David Quisenberry and his family, that we're very much in David Quisenberry's corner. And the one thing that's really stood out to me personally in our coaching staff, we've been over there to visit him, is what an impressive young man this guy is. He's a guy that wanted his team to know right away, his teammates to know, that he was going to fight this thing and he was going to beat it. And we're all behind him, and we know that he's going to do that. He's at the best medical facility, cancer facility, for what he has over there at MD Anderson, and they've been great with him. And again, from our staff and our team to David and his family, we're all in his corner. And we look forward to the day that he beats it and he returns to the Houston Texans.
First, you know, found out he was hospitalized, and he was kept there overnight. You know, that was alarming, and I was just confused. I didn't know what it was. And he was the one that actually sent me the text. I asked him if he got any updates, and he texted me back and told me what was up. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like I said, man, I'm considered to be an older guy around here, and that's like, you know, one of my little brothers. And to get that kind of text message from a 23-year-old, it's tough. It's tough. But like I said, when I got a chance to see him, he was fine. He was fine. He told me he'd be okay, and that's all I needed to hear.
Whenever you hear about someone dealing with any form of cancer, for that matter, obviously it's something that you don't take lightly. And when it hits close to home with one of your teammates, it's something that it really hits close to home, because especially in the trenches right there with a guy like David, who has been battling back from injury from last year. And, you know, he's just a young guy, 23 years old, and all of a sudden out of nowhere thinks he's living a healthy lifestyle and gets diagnosed with something that he had no clue about. So he did his research right away, and, you know, when he found out about everything, we've been with him 110% right behind his back, and he's had probably an overwhelming amount of support from the team, which I'm sure he's very appreciative of. But, you know, we're just behind him. Whatever he needs from us, we're going to be there for him. I think that from him, he's told us, you know, just go about your daily life, and you know, I'm going to beat this thing. And he's got a real positive attitude about it, and he's got his family here helping support him too. So, you know, we're just here for whatever he needs.
Again, our thoughts and prayers for David Quisenberry and his family as they take on this big fight against lymphoma. But the business of football continues at NRG Stadium and the Houston Methodist Training Center. And this week, Romeo Crennel met with the media. Very entertaining. He had roll call. He had everybody in the media, everybody in the room, introduce themselves to him.
Well, we happen to be doing Texans All Access, and he starts taking roll call. We were amazed. And then John McClain says the first time he's seen that in 35 years. I thought it was a great move. But having Romeo here, I don't know how you feel about it, Mark, but it just feels so good. It feels like my grandfather's here, that he's just going to make sure everything runs well. And he has such a great defensive mind for these particular athletes, for this team, and for these pieces to put together, the puzzle. I'd want nobody other than Romeo Crennel to do it.
Well, he runs the 3-4 defense. You know, Wade Phillips ran the 3-4 defense, but it's a little bit different with Romeo Crennel. He likes the big, physical, large nose tackle.
Well, because we play the 3-4 defense, you have to be good down the middle, you know, and that starts with the nose. And hopefully you can get a guy that commands double teams. And because if he can command double teams, then somebody's going to be free. And we tell them that you have to command the double team, and then you have to beat the double team at the line of scrimmage to get somebody free. Because if you get double teamed and get knocked 5 yards back, then chances are nobody's going to be free, and there's a big hole in the defense. But the nose is critical. He has to be able to win one-on-one. We have to force the double team and then not get killed on the double team. And then that allows the linebackers behind him to be good. That allows the free safety down the middle of the field to be good. And so, therefore, then you can be good down the middle. And because of the way we play the technique, generally we've had bigger guys to be along that front and then try to put the more athletic guys on the edge of the defense to let them make the plays there.
I'm just going to go out every day and learn what I can and just take what the older guy can show me and just listen to coach and do my best.
Who are the older guys that you kind of learn from, watch? And what are they teaching?
I mean, honestly, you watch guys like J.J. Watt. You know, he knows most of the defense, and, you know, he does a great job at doing what he needs to do. And I just try to emulate that. You know I'll never be J.J. Watt. You know, he's like 300 pounds. So, you know, I just do my best to, you know, just emulate him, you know, just do my job because he does his. And, you know, I still got catching up to do, you know, since I'm new, and just do my best.
Well, J.J. Watt's only 300 pounds, a svelte 300, John.
Well, I guess. Lewis Nix says he'll never get to 300. Well, he worked out in Houston enough. He definitely will get close. But if he's a few buffets away from being 335, so maybe 300 is a pipe dream for him.
Well, obviously one of the big storylines of this OTA season has been the quarterbacks. Four of them on the roster. They drafted Tom Savage. You still have T.J. Yates and Case Keenum here. And they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick in the offseason. And Bill O'Brien mentioned that it's going to be hard to get four quarterbacks reps.
So anytime you have four, John, I don't think it's easy to divide the reps. I think you can really get three guys reps in a practice, which is basically what we've been doing. And I know that's probably not the easiest thing for those guys, but three out of four have been getting reps. You know, I'm not sure. We haven't really talked about the roster yet as it relates to training camp. Again, it goes back to John. Everything we do will be in the best interest of the team. These guys, these quarterbacks, though, I have to tell you and everybody, the fans especially, these guys have worked extremely hard. They've all had really good moments. They're very competitive. They've been in this building 7 days a week, studying on their own, studying with myself, studying with George mostly, George Gotze. And they've gone out and really competed and really tried to help the team and I think improved every week. So it's a very competitive situation.
Well, John, he hasn't quite said whether he's keeping four or he's going to cut it down to three before camp. What are your thoughts on the overall situation?
I still think, as he said a few weeks ago, that the job is still wide open. If they had to play tomorrow, Mark, I do think it would be Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I still think in training camp the job is going to be wide open if T.J. Yates or Case Keenum steals that job during training camp, earns that job during training camp, that particular player will take it. I think they'll bring four to training camp, even though it is hard to get all four of them reps. I still think he doesn't know exactly what he has in these quarterbacks.
It's going to be tough. If they cut it down to three for training camp, you lose one to injury, you're down to two, then what do you do? Anyway, let's throw it back to our quarterback, Patty Smith.
All right, thank you so much, Mark. We'll have more with him a little bit later on in the show, but don't go away. We have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but when we come back, I'll go one-on-one with J.J. Watt. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. We've been telling you for the last couple of weeks the differences, the changes out here at OTAs when they're practicing, the up-tempo, the music. You can hear it kind of going on behind me right now, so if it's a little bit loud, but it's very inspirational music being played today. And when you say things like inspiration, you can't help but to think about a guy like J.J. Watt. Here's a guy who's getting it done both on and off the field, and I had a chance to sit down and catch up with him about not only those things going on the field, but what he sees as far as this team goes heading into the 2014 season. All right, you got a little time under your belt now with OTAs and, you know, a little time with this coaching staff. Just sort of your just overall impression so far from what you see and how that bodes for this team.
I like it. I like the direction we're headed. I like what we've been doing. We're working extremely hard. You know, it's obviously new. Everything's new. But I like some of the things that we're doing. I like the way that we go about our business, and I like how hard that we're working and how much preparation we're putting into what we're getting ready to do.
What does it mean to you with this new coaching staff to have Bill Kolar there? In fact, I was with Coach O'Brien this weekend, and he said he came to you, and you were just a big proponent. I love this guy, and he's like, hey, if that's good enough for JJ, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, no, I obviously am very happy that Kolar is still on the staff. He's been with me my whole career now, and I'm very fortunate. He's a great coach, and sometimes you butt heads with him, but it's for the best. And he knows how to get the best out of his players. He knows how to get the information across to his players. And at the end of the day, I know that he's going to push me to be the best football player I can be.
What do you, either individually or as a team, learn from and take from 2-14?
You learn a lot. I mean, you went through situations. You go through, I can't say ups and downs. You go through a whole lot of downs. But you grow as a person, you grow as a player, and you move on. And I think that's the point we're at now, is we're at the move-on point. Really excited with the new staff, really excited about the direction we're headed, and we put that behind us. And we're definitely moving forward, and we're working extremely hard to make this season a whole lot of fun.
What's the best thing you've done this offseason?
My brothers and I took a trip to Europe. And for me, that was one of the best trips ever, because we've never gotten to take a trip, all three of us, just the three brothers. And our schedules lined up just right. And with them playing at Wisconsin, me playing in the NFL, it doesn't happen often. And so we got to go to Dublin, London, Paris, and Rome real early in the off season before I started my training and everything. And it was just a really special trip for all three of us to see some sights. And I mean, for us three, who are athletes who compete every day, to stand in the Coliseum and look around and just see the sights, it was truly incredible.
Anything stand out for you that was like your favorite stop, your favorite visit?
Definitely Rome. Just from the gladiator mentality, the Colosseum, the competition. Rome was one of the coolest cities. The history and the food sure as heck doesn't hurt either.
What's the best piece of advice you could give to some of these rookies coming in?
Keep your mouth shut and work your butt off. That's all I can say, is honestly, the best way to gain respect is to work every single day and just keep your mouth shut. And if you're willing to show me that you're going to put in the time, effort to learn the playbook, you're willing to put in the time on the practice field, after practice, before practice, that's how you gain respect, and also that's how you get to be a great player. So I think that's what we've been preaching. I think a lot of them have been doing a great job of it.
Does it almost seem kind of surreal to you that, it just seems like yesterday that you were that rookie or that young guy, and now here you are, a veteran, one of the leaders on this team that kind of demand that respect and for them to show you some of those things?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's a whirlwind, that's for sure. And I think it's so easy for people to take things for granted. And, just, it feels like just yesterday I was upstairs after draft day, and it was my first year, and now here I am going into my fourth year, and it's pretty insane. But when I think about things like that, it makes me take each day as it comes and never look too far forward, never look too far behind, just enjoy today, because you never know when it's going to end. And so I'm just literally trying to be the best player that I can be today, because someday this is all going to be over, and I want to enjoy it as long as I can.
All right, we have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll bring back in the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, to break things down with a little X's and O's. Stay with us.
Back with Texans Huddle at NRG Stadium, Mark Vandermeer and Texans football analyst John Harris. And John, we talked about David Quisenberry and the very serious health situation, but as I said earlier, the business of football continues. So football-wise, they had high hopes for Quisenberry as a guard, perhaps, and certainly to compete at right tackle. Now, without him, Derek Newton is your right tackle, and there's not a lot of depth behind him.
I mean, don't be surprised if you hear crickets at this point. There are three undrafted rookies right now. If you put together this depth chart with Brendan Williams trying to recuperate from his microfracture surgery, David obviously dealing with his health issue, you're very thin. I would imagine they're going to hit the waiver wire soon or look for some veterans that are looking for a job to bring in to compete, because you got Derek Newton and Dwayne Brown, and you don't have a swing tackle at this point that's not an undrafted free agent rookie. So it really hamstrings you at that particular position. And then you look at a guy like Xavier Suofilu, who has not been able to be here for 10 OTAs, dealing with the quarter system at UCLA. So his asset other than the fact that he's 306 pounds and he's a man and a road grader, is that he's versatile. But because he's missed so much practice time, he can't learn both positions. It's going to be very difficult to learn both positions. So he's got to focus on one, and that's probably going to be at the left guard. So the team really has to go out and find a tackle or hope, keep their fingers crossed, that one of these rookies really develops through training camp, Brian Witzman, Matt Filer, or Anthony Dima.
Well, when you look at Suofilo, taken 33rd overall, you would pencil him in as a starter, but would you? Even though he doesn't coach his side of the ball, Romeo Crennel talked about the possibility of starting rookies.
I tell everybody, rookies are making rookie mistakes. That's what they do. You know, so until he can get settled and feel confident in all of his assignments, and then he can become reactive, then I think that that he'll show better at that time. But right now, his head is spinning, just like all the rookies. Their heads are spinning because we've thrown a lot at them. But they're working at it, and they make their mistakes. They learn, and they come back the next day and try to improve and not make the same mistake again.
Now, Crennel asked that question in relation to the number one overall pick in the draft, Jadeveon Clowney. So you have Clowney here. Is it possible he doesn't start on opening day against the Redskins?
Say it in so, Romeo. I think he'll start September 7th. He's just saying he has to earn that job through training camp and through the preseason games. And I think there's an opportunity for Suofilo to do that as well. But that's been the mantra from Bill O'Brien since he got here. You will earn everything. It's about team. And if a rookie earns a job during camp, it doesn't matter whether you're drafted number one or you're an undrafted free agent. If you earn that job in training camp, you're going to be starting September 7th against the Washington Redskins at whatever position it might be. Tom Savage could go through training camp and preseason games and win the job coming out of camp. Highly unlikely, but he could. Bill O'Brien would make him the starter September 7th. So I agree with Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien. Rookies, first-year players, they've got to earn those positions. They've got to earn the logo. They've got to earn that permanent locker in the locker room.
All right, let's flip back to the offensive side of the ball. Tight end position, as C.J. Fedorowicz looks pretty good out there. You have Garrett Graham, Ryan Griffin. You also have Zach Potter, who they signed in the offseason. And, John, I know you like this group.
I love this group, Mark, because of the way the puzzle pieces can go together. Garrett Graham and Ryan Griffin can move all of the formation. CJ can, too, but he is more of a Y tight end, a guy who puts his hand in the ground. And he was the most dominant run-blocking tight end in this draft. You can play two guys. You can play three guys. There's a lot of combinations that you can have with these guys. And you can put three tight ends and be more of a passing set. You can have three other tight ends, and you could be more of a run-dominant set. So I like that versatility. I think that's what Bill O'Brien and this offense, led by George Godsey, thought that's what they were looking for, the versatility, the layers in the offense, and the tight end epitomizes that diversity in the offense.
Of course, historically, the Texans have gotten good production, great production on many occasions out of their tight end group. This might be a little bit different, kind of a la the Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez deal when the Patriots had it going good with those two guys.
I could see that, in particular how they're going to run the ball out of those sets, but also matchups. I think Garrett Graham and Ryan Griffin can really flourish in this offense. And once C.J. Fedorowicz picks it up, his size, Zach Potter's size, I wouldn't even be surprised if Bill O'Brien has a four tight end offense. I think if it were up to Bill O'Brien, he'd play 11 tight ends. That said, with the diversity in those four guys, and here's the thing, Mark, the guys that are in camp that were rookie undrafted free agents, Chris Coyle, Anthony Denham, those are really good tight ends as well. They've got as good a crew as they've had. It's just diverse. It's different than crews they've had in the past. And you noted that when you saw C.J. Fedorowicz for the first time. This is a big human being, probably bigger than anybody they've had at tight end. But it's the diversity that they all provide for the offense that I think people are going
to
like.
We feel like we're just getting warmed up. Plenty more huddle to come. And we'll go back to our quarterback, Patty Smith, as well. And Texans Huddle continues.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Now, if you haven't got enough of J.J. Watt, which no one seems to be able to do, we've got more. Of course, each and every year he has his celebrity softball game, which is pretty much just offense against defense, down at Constellation Field in Sugar Land. And we were there and mic'd him up.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, there's an open gate right here.
All right, let's start hitting a little bit. I'm only going to take a couple. I wore myself out last year.
Yeah, I know.
pop in that thing is phenomenal.
I'm kidding, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
This is the worst place we can stand. This is where we're all gonna get hurt. Yeah. Nice grab.
All right.
I mean, I can cut anything out.
How about a big Houston welcome?
TJ, you never say anything about anything.
The new guy.
Look at the tip of the cap.
The tip of the cap. Class act. Tip in the cap.
I have a feeling he's like awesome baseball.
Yep, there it goes. This is Shiloh's day, and we're all just living in it. I love it.
If they're in the air, it's not.
We got a full rules committee meeting down here.
I'm just a big kid out there, and just taking selfies and having like this little girl like hyperventilate out there, and it's like that's all it takes. So why wouldn't I do that? This is exactly the stuff you dream about as a kid. You dream about being a professional athlete. You dream about playing the game you love, and you dream about helping kids and doing things like this. And just to stand there in that moment and see fireworks and everything that's all come together and how much work has been put in. It was a surreal moment. I don't get moments like that very often where I get to just step back and be like, wow.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to be with us each and every Thursday all season long here on Texans Huddle. In fact, we're taking the show out on the road. Hashtag Texans Huddle Summer. Let us know where you'd like to see us, and maybe we will come to a neighborhood near you. Up next is mandatory mini camp. OTAs are wrapping up this week, so we'll see you out there. We'll bring you all the news and notes and keep you updated on your favorite NFL team. Have a great week, everyone.